Look at Genesis 26. And we'll share a little bit from there. Hallelujah. Is the seven still going? Is it finished? Who won the sevens? Who won the sevens? New Zealand. I thought the South Africans were going to win. Hallelujah. My wife says I'm a stirrer. I follow every rugby team but the New Zealand rugby team. Don't throw any stuff at me. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are you laughing at? Praise the Lord. Verse 1, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." Verse 6, so Isaac dwelled in Gerar. Hallelujah. We're talking on, just in the last few weeks, talking on finances, why God blessed you financially. And the purpose of why God gives you finances. And then we talk about the pathway of how do you walk to get financially blessed. If you don't think we should talk about finances in the church, because you've heard so much in the paper and in the media and in some other churches in other countries where finances have been abused, just because healing is abused does not mean that you're not looking for healing. And just because finances is abused does not mean that you're not looking for finances. Because everybody here, at least 8 hours every day, you're looking for money. Is that right? 8 hours every day, regardless of what you do, 8 hours every day, and sometimes more than 8 hours, everybody goes out to pursue money. Now, the Bible says God gives you the strength to make money. So the strength that God gives to you, part of using that strength is that God gives you the strength to go out and pursue money and make money. And the reason is, he says, that you might fulfill with your money, might fulfill his covenant. All right. So don't throw stuff at me. I'm just talking from the Bible. Okay. Just because somebody abuses their car doesn't mean that you're going to abuse yours. Or doesn't mean you're going to leave yours alone. If somebody abuses their car, you still look after your car. If somebody abuses their pet, you still look after your pet. And if somebody abuses money, it doesn't mean we shouldn't talk on money just because somebody abused money. Hello? Are you all right? That's sensible, isn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Bible tells you to use your money to make friends for eternity. You don't buy them, but sometimes in the revivals in Africa with the German evangelist and the money that he used to set up the tent and the revivals, the tent is too small now. It's got 3 million people come to the crusades. And he says, it's about $3 something to get a soul saved. That's, hello? Just to set up the crusade in terms of the crusade money, about $3 to get a soul come to the Lord. In the last few years, that man has brought 50 million people to the Lord. That's pretty good, isn't it? Hallelujah. So don't get mad at me when I talk to you about finances. Jesus talked about finances in the parables. In fact, the Bible talks about finances more than it talks about prayer and faith and love. Yet we have prayer meetings, but we don't have financial meetings. Hallelujah. And I think the reason Jesus talked about money a lot is because he knew that it's going to take up a whole part of our lives. And Jesus said, you can only serve two masters. You either serve God the Father or you serve mammon, which is the spirit behind money. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise God. So I just want to bring you up to speed because some of you are visiting. You probably will never come back here again because you're out from out of town. But I want to put you in a perspective so that you can understand where we're coming from so that you will go out and not say, well, I started that halfway through. I don't even know where it began. One of the things God does is God will confine you to the parameters of where God has called you. And God said to Isaac, even though there's a famine in the land, I want you to stay in this land and don't move out of it, because the blessing of God has parameters against it, parameters that protect you and keep you in the boundaries of that blessing. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Samuel came on the scene, God gave him from Dan to Beersheba. So from Dan to Beersheba is the confines of where he ministers and where God will speak through him and where God will bless him. And if God calls you to Wanganui, you can't go out of Wanganui. That doesn't mean you can't travel out of Wanganui. You can still do. But where you live, where you dwell, the place that you dwell, your Gerar, Isaac dwelt in Gerar, your Gerar becomes Wanganui. Hallelujah. If you live in Auckland and your Gerar is Wanganui, you won't get blessed in Auckland. You might actually die in Auckland. You might collect a bullet. Are you alright? Say amen. If God wants you to live here and you live in Samoa, you won't be blessed there. But if God wants you to live in Samoa and you migrate here because you think that somehow New Zealand is more prosperous and New Zealand will bless you, you will not be blessed. You will be blessed. If God puts you in a ghetto, you will be more blessed in that ghetto. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So what God does is God finds a giraffe for you. When God does things like that, what God normally does is God will build an atmosphere where you're supposed to dwell. Eden was not just the name of a place. Eden was an atmosphere. And God put a man inside that atmosphere. And what God does, God will create an environment and build an atmosphere. Then he will build what to put into that atmosphere. God created the sea, and after he created the sea, he created the fish, and he put the fish in the sea. He created the soil, and after he created the soil, he created a plant to put in the soil. He created the firmament, and after he created the firmament, he created the planets to put in the firmament. But he creates an atmosphere first, and when he created Eden, he created an atmosphere. Then he created Adam and put Adam in that atmosphere, because the atmosphere where you find true fulfillment in God is the atmosphere of his presence. In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Nothing else compares. And when a man finds that atmosphere, he will dwell, he will be fulfilled. Everything he ever desired will be part of who he is. Now, if you take that man out of that atmosphere, that man will die, because the atmosphere is where he lives. It's his natural habitat. And we are created in the image of God to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And when we come out of that presence, I don't care who you are, you're dead. And Jesus said, if you live here, even if you die here, you are in the coffin here, you are more alive than anybody that is outside this atmosphere. That's why the Bible says, even though you're alive, you are dead. Why? When you are outside of the atmosphere of God, even though you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you're dead. But even though you're in the coffin in the presence of God, even though you're dead, yet you live. Hallelujah. Now you take a fish out of the sea, what happens? The fish will die. You pluck a plant out of the ground, what happens? It dies. You take a planet out of the firmament, what happens? It burns up. It's a meteorite. A meteorite. So God creates a Gerar. God creates boundaries for the parameters of your blessing. And if you confine yourself to those parameters, God will bless you. And God said to Isaac, even though there's a famine right here, right now, I want you to stay here. Don't go to Egypt. And many times when there's a famine, hello? Hallelujah. There was a famine in the land, and a man named Elimelech went to Moab. And when he went to Moab with his two sons and his wife, what happened to Elimelech? He died. What happened to his son? What happened to the other son? Died. Now, family of four, three deaths. Why? They went to the wrong place. They did not confine themselves to the blessing and the covenant place where God has called them to. And when they went how many would want a family of four, three deaths? Huh? So what did she do? She got up and said, I'm going back. Back to where? Back to where I'm supposed to be. Because there's bread there, there's food there. And she went back and took her daughter-in-law. Hallelujah. Both widows, both women, no inheritance, no bank account, no land, no Mercedes-Benz, no Toyota, no nothing. And they walked back into the presence of God. Hallelujah. And they walked back to the presence of God. God has already prepared a Boaz for Ruth. And Ruth became the ancestress of the Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed can you be? She did not even know that God was preparing stuff for her. And when she came back to the place where God has called them to be in. Are you okay? So go to Japan if you want to, or go to Russia if you want to. But if God calls you to be here, you'll be an idiot if you do. On the other hand, God calls you to Japan, you'll be an idiot to stay. Hallelujah. Are you all right? So the number one thing, if you're going to walk into this place in the pathway where God will prosper you, is to find your Jerah. Stay in the place where God has called you to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you all right? Hallelujah. So Isaac dwelt in Jerah. The man of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he was afraid to say, she is my wife, because she thought, lest the man of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold. Came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through the window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah. So here is Isaac talking to the king of Gerar and the men of Gerar. They ask, who's this girl? He said, oh, that's my sister. Now, what is that? That's a lie. You know, some Christians lie. Any Christians here still lying? Not again? All right. You're honest, see? And God loves honesty. All right. Now, let me say something. Sometimes, see, the same king asked Isaac's father, Abraham, who's this girl? You know what Abraham said? It's my sister. So the guy is just following his father's footsteps. And sometimes there are battles that you face. You have no idea why you face them. But the reason you face them is because they are battles that come down your bloodline. And here is Abraham, the father of the faith, lied about his wife, and his son lied about his wife. Why? The guy is trying to battle through some stuff that's not his making. It's a making of his forefathers. And some of our problems, you're trying to battle through some problems that are not ours by the making. I mean, we don't need any more problems. We're making quite enough of our own. But you inherit some problems the same way you inherit some blessings And sometimes you get so blessed, you would, what have I done? You're just blessed because of your forefathers. And sometimes you are annoyed and are problematic because of your forefathers. And sometimes you have to thank them for the blessing and try and correct the things that they did that were not good. Are you all right? Say amen. And some of you come into the world, hallelujah, you're born like the young man born blind. You're just born blind because of the womb that you were born through. Like the crippled man at the gate, beautiful. He's been crippled ever since he was born. And he's brought there by other people so that he can beg. And sometimes you are born blind. Sometimes you're born crippled because of the womb that brought you into the world. But God has put your destiny in the hand of another man. And here comes Peter and John. And Peter and John said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm begging for a hamburger. And they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give us thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And sometimes God will put your destiny in the hand of another man so that your crippledness may be healed and your blindness may be healed. Your eyes can be opened and your feet can run. Hello? And sometimes you're born that way and you're struggling with stuff. God, it's not your fault. It's the womb that you were born through. But there's something you can do about it. Sometimes I'm blind in many ways. I'm crippled in many ways. I can't sing like Karina. I can't lead worship. Hello? I can't build fences like Bill Kingy. Are you all right? Say amen. And in some sense, many of us are blind in certain areas. Many of us are crippled in certain areas. There are areas that you can run in and areas you can't run in. You try to drag yourself through. But there are areas that you're skilled in and you run through a troop and you leap over a wall. And God trains your hand for battle and your arm bend above a bronze. But there are areas in your life that you can't even run. You need somebody to take your hand and lead you through. Amen. Some of you are visiting here today just to hear this message. Hallelujah. So Isaac had to deal with two things. First, he had to stay in the parameters of where God has called him. Why? Because the Bible says God preappoints where you live and your time in history. God preappoints that. Where is that? It's in Acts chapter 17. God does that. God preappoints that you're going to be born a Pakeha, preappoints that you're going to be born a Samoan, because your spirit has no color and has no sex. Spirit is colorless in that sense. I got stranded in the Bay of Islands just 2 days ago. No planes were coming out. The weather was terrible. And had to bus down from get the shuttle from the Bay of Islands to Auckland, and an old Maori chap turn up and in the shuttle, and we got us to Whangarei, and he said, in Whangarei, we're going to change drivers. And we got to Whangarei and said, well, this colored boy is going, the white boy is coming. Because a white man drove the truck from there. Oh, he can't help it. God preappointed your nationality. Don't try and be a Pakeha. I don't want to be a Pakeha. I just love being Samoan. I'm happy in my skin. Don't try and be a Samoan. All right, otherwise you'll burn your skin out in the noonday heat. Only Englishmen and some sort of animals go out in the noonday heat. I thought I better not say anything else. Otherwise there might be English here. My youth pastor is English and I don't want to... All right? Okay. But he has to stay in the parameters of where God has called him. And then he had to deal with the problems that he inherited, not because he did anything wrong, but he inherited the problem from his ancestors. God will visit the sin of your ancestor to the third and fourth generation. You are affected four generations down the road. Your great-great-grandchildren will be affected four generations down the road because of your behavior right now. But if you behave well, God will visit your generation with blessing to how many? A thousand generations from now on. If you live right, 1,000 generations. God will remember His covenant and will not change the word of that covenant. And God will remember your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, even though you're dead and gone, because God will visit to 1,000 generations His faithfulness and His goodness. Hallelujah. And sometimes, some of you are here, you're struggling to manage some stuff, and you have no idea where it came from. Hallelujah. You know what God said to Cain? Sin lies at the door. Now that's an amazing thing, because when God said that to Cain, there were no doors. They were just tents. And he said, sin lies, what door? There's a door in the realm of the spirit. And when Cain did the first murder on the planet, when he struck his brother, can you imagine that? He took a life. He'd never seen anything like that before. And the blood of his brother began to spill onto the ground. And God said, sin lies at the door. What door? Somehow Cain, because of what he did, opened a spiritual door. And sin lies at that door, and he beckons you to it. But God has given you authority over it. And sometimes your great ancestors may have opened a door in the spirit, and you're struggling with stuff because stuff come through that door, and you're trying to handle it. What do? Go to the door and shut the thing. It stops with me. I know the true door. I know the door of hope. He can put a door in the valley. And I can walk through that door because Jesus Christ is the door. I am the door of the sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Are you still with me? All right. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now here is a land of famine, and Isaac sowed into the famine. Why? Because he's found his paradise, he's found his Gerar. And even though Gerar right now had a famine, what did he do? He sowed in the famine. And many of us, when there's a famine, the last thing we want to do is sow. When you got no money, the last thing you want to do is give money. Just bless me and my wife, my son John, and his wife, and us four, and no more. Give. You're like the leech that says, give. Give it to me. Hallelujah. But it says, give. Sow into the famine. And when you find yourself in a famine, sow. Like we said last week, if your last money that's left is $10, don't spend it. Give it away. Why? Jesus said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. If you don't give your $10 away, guess how much money you've got? $10. And that's it. Period. But if you let it die, if you give it away, if you plant it, give and it shall be blessed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, into your shawl, into your pocket. So when there's a famine, sow. Many of us don't sow because there's a famine. God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You don't eat the seed and sow the bread. You sow the seed and eat the bread. Hallelujah. Say amen. You can sow bread, but it's still seed. And the wise man said, cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, you will find your bread after many days, but he had to cast it onto the top of the water. What does that mean? The River Jordan, when it floods, today it's dammed up because got better technology and stuff like that. But the Jordan, when the Jordan flooded, it'll overflow its banks about a mile on both sides. So you've got a flood at least 2 miles wide. Overflows that banks and overflows that banks and the width of the river. So it's a flood about 2 miles wide. And the lions come and they camp around the thickets by the Jordan. When people come to draw water, the lions devour them. When the deer come to the brook, when the deer comes to drink, the lion is by the drink. And the lion is there to eat the deer. So the deer has to be smarter than the lion. And sometimes when he comes to hear the word of God, he comes to the brook of God, the lion turns up. And if you're not careful, the lion may devour you because you come to drink. Hallelujah. There's a lion that goes about looking whom he may devour. And sometimes the lion may devour you. He doesn't have to devour you if you understand that. Hello? Say amen. But you come to the rivers of God. You come to the brook to take a drink. And sometimes, many times, the devil is wiser than the children of God. Because the devil comes and causes you to go to sleep, and the devil sits there and listens to the sermon. So the devil gets the sermon, but you go to sleep. Hello? And when Jesus said, when you go out, be as wise as the devil, and be as gentle as the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Be as wise as a serpent. Be as gentle as a dove. Why is a serpent wise? Because sometimes a serpent listens to the message, but you go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Are you all right? So here's a flood 2 miles wide. And the farmer comes along and realizes it's flooding. But he has to sow his crop. So you know what he does? He takes the grain, which is the Bible calls bread, and casts the grain on the waters. And the grain will take in water to give it more weight. And the grain will fall to the bottom of the flood. It's still flooding. But when the flood subsides and gone, the flood subsides and is gone, the crop comes up. The Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find it in many days. So you can either cast your bread in the famine. You sow your seed in the famine. Or you cast your bread in the flood. When everything demands of you money. When your bills are there and this thing is there. And every other thing is there. There's a tangi here and a hui here. And an electric bill here. And the lawyer's bill here. And the doctor's bill. And everything comes in like a flood. What do you do? Many times when it comes like a flood, the last thing we want to do is cast our bread on the flood. Hallelujah. Who sits on the flood? The Lord Jehovah sits on the flood. Don't look at the flood. Look at the one that sits on the flood. Hallelujah. Are you all right? So Isaac sowed in the famine. The very land that will not yield is the very land he sowed into. The very time when he needed to, you know, keep the stuff, it's the very time he sowed the stuff. And when he sowed it, the Bible says, he reaped in the same year a hundredfold return. Dare to believe God. Why? Because God's return, many times we don't, God has only three returns. 30, 60, 100. The least God returns is 30. If you don't believe that, rip it out of the Bible. Go find another Bible. And go find another God. Hello? Are you all right? There's only three returns. 30, 60, 100. But God's best is, the Bible says, He sowed in the famine and reaped in the same year. So what do? First, confine yourself to the parameters of God's boundaries for you. Secondly, deal with the sins of your forebears. Thirdly, sow your seed. Sow your seed. You've got seed to sow, sow it today. Sow your seed. Something happened last weekend on Sunday morning. And I just sense that as a church, we broke through a barrier. We broke through a barrier of giving. It seems like something is given. Something just broke in the realm of the Spirit. And people were giving with a generosity of heart. And many of you that were here last Sunday morning will realize right now that giving to you is no more a problem. It's no longer a problem. Because many times it's a problem. If we go to McDonald's, $50 is not enough. But when we give to Jesus in the offering, $50, that's too much. It's not too much for McDonald's. It's not enough for McDonald's, but it's too much for Jesus. It's not McDonald's that gives you the strength to make money. It's Jesus that gives you the strength to make money. Are you all right? Say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's look at verse 13. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Now this is a principle right through the Bible. God takes you from glory to what? To glory to glory. From faith to faith. From plateau to plateau, and you keep on falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. It's a principle in the Bible that God does not want you to stay a baby. When I was a baby, I did what babies do. Now I'm a man. I no longer do what babies do. Hallelujah. And the Bible says He began to prosper. He began to prosper. Because he did things right. He stayed there. Because he dealt with the things about his father. He sowed. And he began then to prosper. And many of us just begin to prosper. And then it finishes there. He began to prosper. He continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. God wants you to begin, God wants you to continue, and God wants you to be prosperous, not so that you can consume it on yourself. God wants to bless you, that you may be a blessing. I'll bless you, and through you shall all the Iwis and the Hapus and the tribes and the South Africans and Zimbabweans and the Samoans and the Maoris, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. And God wants to bless you, continue to bless you until you become very blessed, that you can be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. How many know it's a great thing when you're able to just bless other people? Fantastic. It's nice. I took one of our young girls to a shop. Took her shopping. I said to her, don't just get something just because I'm taking you shopping. You think that you'll insult my wallet. You'll insult me if you don't get what you want. So get something that you want. Not something that you think you should get because it's cheap. Get something that you want. So we went to this shop and said, there's nothing here I want. Good. We went until she found a shop with a dress that she wanted. She said, I like this one. I said, buy it. If you like that one, get it. And while I was paying for it, there was a lady next to me, and she didn't have enough money. She said, thank you very much. I said, no problem. And it's lovely to be able to bless somebody. We had a young couple come from Palmerston North. We were giving them some marital counseling. They were getting married, premarital counseling. And I said, have you had dinner? They said, no. I said, we'll go and have dinner. They said, we haven't got any money. I said, wrong answer. I didn't ask you if you've got money. I asked you to come to dinner. So we went to dinner. You know what they did? They were looking for the cheapest. I said, if you order anything under $25, you can pay for it yourself. They were looking to try to say, order a bowl of chips between the two of them. I said, order some food. Some people ask us, oh, we'll take you and your family to dinner. I said, no. You don't know my boys. The last thing they look at is the price tag. They never look at the price tag. They just order. You know why? Because Papa pays. But when they pay, so if you want to take us for, just take my wife and I. If you bring the boys, you'll be broke. They've seen it, you know, they've seen it, and they're generous. Hallelujah. But the reason God blesses you, God wants you to begin to be prosperous, continue to prosper until you become very prosperous. Not so that you can consume it on yourself. That's covetousness. And God hates that. God hates covetousness. But when you're generous, the Bible says a generous man plans generous things, and in his generosity he shall be established. Hallelujah. Are you all right? For he had great possession of flocks and possession of herds, and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Never, ever get into your head that just because you're blessed, everybody's going to be happy with your blessing. They will envy you just because you're prosperous. They will envy you just because it seems like everything is working out for you. Part of the blessing, according to Jesus, if you leave home and land for me and the gospel, you will have a land and houses and families and a hundredfold return with persecution. 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 Part of the blessing is persecution. If you're not persecuted, maybe you're not blessed. In this life, you'll be blessed. And in eternal life, you will be blessed. But part of that blessing is persecution. And not everybody's going to be happy when you're blessed. Some people say, who does he think is he? You know, he's just a Maori from down the road. Huh? He says, it's a Maori coconut. Not everybody's going to be happy with your blessing. Because people think that you shouldn't be blessed. Hallelujah. So the Philistines envied him. And the Philistine had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And they had filled them with dirt. That's a dumb thing to do in a desert. I mean, the well is there. It's bringing up. It's not only giving you drink. It's giving the flock drink and giving your neighbor drink. And some well-meaning dragon turns up with a truckload and just dumped the whole bunch into the well. I mean, it's a desert for goodness sake. But they dump and they clog up the well. Hallelujah. And part of what you deal with in walking in this pathway is learning how to handle the well cloggers with grace. people come and clog up your well, and you turn up and bless them. My wife said to some people, said, this guy is crazy. I said, why? He said, the very people that run him down, the very people that just stab him in the back, are the very people he runs to when there's a conference, and he runs to them and embraces them and talks to them, and they think he does not know what they are doing. Hello. Learn to handle the truck drivers that bring the dirt and dump them in your well. Secondly, learn to unclog your well. Sometimes the people, some of you are here, your well is not flowing very well. Your well is not so well. Why? Because your well is clogged up. Things have come and you need to unclog your well. Sometimes you need to release grace to those that criticize you. Sometimes you need to repent for the things that you have done wrong. Those things help to unclog your well. Guard your well with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. When the Bible says guard your heart, it's talking about your well. Jesus said to the woman at the well, I'll give you water, and that water will be in you a well, and out of you a river. So when God tells you to guard your heart, He's telling you to guard your well. Why? Because life flows out of your well. Spring up a well within my soul. Hallelujah. So learn to handle those that clog up your well. And learn to unclog the well when it's clogged up. And some of you are here today and you're wondering why things are not going so well. It's because your well is clogged up. You need to unclog it. Take away the dirt. As much as people dump rubbish in your well, take it out. Hallelujah. Amen. Or turn it to something else. If they dump it in your well, grow a lily. Why? It's where the rubbish is. You can grow lilies. They become lilies of the valley. People come into the valleys. You've been in the valley. They find a lily. They say, whose lily is that? That's Illy's lily. You become a lily of the valley. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Or turn the thing into beauty. God gives you beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Amen. God's a good God. Hallelujah. Gold is found in the midst of dirt. Gold is not found on the ground. When you dig and dig and dig, then you find gold. But when you find gold, you've unearthed a whole lot of dirt. Sometimes you need to unclog and unearth a lot of dirt so that God can find the gold in your life. God's a good God. You're my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me. You're my hope. The hope of glory reaches to me. And when you find yourself lonely, don't forget if you're in your Jirah, you're in the presence of a place where God can find you, touch your life, and hallelujah, minister to you, make your blessing. Hallelujah. You experience the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow. And when you're sorrowful, make sure you know that true joy is born out of sorrow. Hallelujah. Tears endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. God's a good God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's enough for today. Pastor Andrew's coming to do communion. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Hallelujah. Just as Andrew comes, if you're here and you feel that somehow your well is not flowing the way it should. Maybe you're looking elsewhere beyond the parameters of God's dealings with you. I want you to stand where you're sitting. We'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Just stand. We'll pray for you. Then Pastor Andrew is coming to minister communion to us. If you're sitting close to some of those people, can you stand, lay your hands on them? If you come with them, just lay hands on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we bless you. We pray for these dear ones, Lord God. Your grace that is sufficient will touch their lives and minister to their hearts. You will bless them. There will be a flow, Lord God, of the wells of life flowing in to wash over them. As their wells are unclogged, Lord, I pray that the well will spring up afresh. Life-giving waters that others may drink of their lives. Others may be blessed through their lives. Hallelujah. Just pray for them right now. Just ask God to minister to them. Hallelujah. Father, touch their lives. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.